This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. The title of my talk is Prayer and the Automatic Kingdom. Prayer and the Automatic Kingdom. What do you think of when you think of the word automatic? Pardon? Cars. REM. Is that a musical reference? A modern cultural reference, which has immediately dated me. What else do you think of with automatic? Gun? Thank you for that. What else? Automatic. Automatic washing machine. Yeah. It's an adjective, and it means to work by itself with little or no direct human control. And this word is a clue to many of us who have a problem with prayer, this word automatic. Have you ever prayed and hard and for something very specific, maybe for quite a long time, and nothing's happened, and you haven't worked out what's going on, and you've been trying to figure out, how can I make this happen? Do you spend time in frustration? I do. Like over Vineyard House, when we were looking for a building, I was very frustrated by that, over praying for our neighbors, over when we were looking for this building, we went through a period of frustration and not knowing what to do and trying to make it happen. Let's look at one of Jesus' parables, which gives us some interesting perspective on this. It's in Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, the welcome team will bring a Bible. The welcome team will bring a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just stick your hand up, and the welcome team will bring a Bible to you. Or you look it up on your smartphone, or if you've got your own Bible with you, that's great. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark is at the beginning of the New Testament, the right-hand side of the Bible. Mark is one of the four Gospels, four autobiographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So it's the second one. Put your hand up in the air if you want a Bible. And you can borrow one of these. If you don't possess one, keep it. And Jesus has been speaking parables. You know Jesus and his parables. And he's been telling quite a lot on the theme of the kingdom. And he uses the metaphor of seeds and sowers a lot. And if we read to verse 26 of chapter 4, Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." He goes on with his normal life, goes to bed, gets up in the morning, and something's going on. He doesn't know how. "All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel on the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. There are three players in this drama. There's the farmer, who is the sower of the seed. There is the seed itself and the grain it grows into. And there's the invisible cause, the all by itself in that verse where it says, all by itself it grows. If you just, let's skim read it again. The man scatters seed on the ground, verse 26, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed still sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces grain. And verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it. So this is the kingdom context. It's all about God's activity in the world. God's kingdom is the area where he rules and reigns. And it's his activity going on in the background. So this word, all by itself, at the beginning of verse 28, all by itself, doesn't really carry the force of the meaning. The word is automata, where we get our word automatic from. And it's the invisible cause. What it's saying is, there is an invisible cause going on, no human hand in evidence, and this thing happens. The seed turns into grain. It's automatic. Verse 26, the scattering, the plowing, and the tending. Verse 27, life going on as normal, night and day. Something's happening, the farmer hasn't got a clue. Verse 28, with little or no human involvement, no human involvement really, no visible cause, all by itself, it grows as normal, stalk, ear, to full grain, to ripeness. The farmer made one contribution at the beginning. He scatters the seed, then he goes to bed. And he wakes up and he goes back to bed. And then he wakes up. And then one day he realizes the harvest is there and he makes another contribution by bringing in the harvest. Here's what I think it looks like prayer. The farmer, and we are the farmer. We are the sower of the seed. The seed is the prayer. And the unseen cause is God in his Holy Spirit at work extending his kingdom. So we pray, you and I pray. We pray our best prayers. We use the scriptures. We use our prayer journals. We download our smartphone apps. We use the Try Praying booklet. We do it on our own. We do it in groups. We do it all together. We pray once, and then we pray again, and sometimes we pray again and again. I've been praying for about 35 years now for some friends that we went on holiday with, who I used to play rugby with him, and then we went on holiday with them. We became good friends. But we tried to share our faith, and they said in no uncertain terms, we want to be friends, but we don't want to talk about that. And I prayed for them pretty much every week for the last 35 years. I'm just doing the praying. I'm sowing the seed. The rest of it is up to God. We pray, and then we wait. And often we have to wait a long time. And we don't see much. We can't do much, like with my friends. But the kingdom is at work. There's no visible cause, but we have to trust that God is at work turning those scattered seeds into grain. As we sleep, as we go about our day, something is happening under the soil, in the seed. Earlier this year, we spent a lot of time thinking about waiting and how we have to learn to wait. It's not at all natural to our way of life. We read in Lamentations, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We need to learn to wait. We're not very good at waiting. But we have to do that while he is at work. You might say prayer doesn't work. People say that sometimes to me. And what that usually means is, I prayed, but you, God, didn't do my will in my way, in my time. It's our job to scatter the seed. That's good. It's even better if we plow and we sow it into the ground. But there comes a point when we have to allow the automatic kingdom to do its thing, for the Holy Spirit to do his mysterious work, and we wait. And sometimes we wait. We've done a lot of waiting over Vineyard House over the last couple of years. We wait. And then we work. Then we see something has changed, notice something has changed, something has happened, the grain has grown, the harvest is ready, there's work to be done. The hidden cause has done its work, the grain has grown automatically, and now we have something to do. It's time to say a word, it's time to give some money, it's time to make a decision, it's time to take a risk. Maybe you've been praying about a career change and all of a sudden an opportunity comes up and it's God's prompting. Time to do it. I've prepared the ground. Now you have to take the risk. And we're about to take the keys for Vineyard House on the 7th of December. It's seared into my mind. 7th of December, we get the keys. And then we get to work. We've been waiting for a long time. I want you to be encouraged that we are called to scatter. We're called to pray. And then we're called to be ready to do the work when the harvest is ready. We're not called to do the hand of God bit behind the scenes. That's up to him. His timing, what he wants to do, is up to him. All we do is pray and wait for the work. God is at work. God is at work all the time. So keep praying, keep waiting, and be ready to jump into action. Okay? That's it. Short and sweet. But I think the Lord wants to minister today. I think we haven't got a lot of time, but I think he wants to. I think there's expectation in the room. So, why don't you stand? We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here, but we want more of him. It's been a shower. We want a rainfall. We want a torrent. We need him. Just as you leave the building and you go back to your day-to-day life, your demanding job, your difficult neighbor, your recalcitrant parent, or whatever it is, you need the Holy Spirit in your life, filling you, changing you, equipping you, telling you that he's with you to get through it. You need that. So here's your opportunity. Drink him in. Let him come and fill you. Come as a thirsty person for the bucket of water that he wants to give you to drink. You can't go out the same as you came in. Let the God of heaven, who loves you dearly, come and fill you with his Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We ask you to come. We ask you to come. Holy Spirit, would you come? Just adopt a physical posture and a mental posture. Just, I know going through your brain is all sorts of things, what's going on, you're trying to intellectualize it, you're not sure that it's all true or anything. Just, God is a good God and he loves you. Just trust him to look after you now. Try and park all that stuff that's whirring in your head and let him come. Let him show you that he loves you.